First of all, thank God for keeping me safe for another trip to Australia. Thank God for health. And every day of health is an occasion for thanksgiving, and I want to thank you all for praying. You may ask me, how is Sydney? Sydney is still there. The church is growing. Elder and Mrs. Koh are serving. You may know that they do not have any other staff, only Elder Koh himself, and holding the fort, and the people are blessed. And we had a good prayer meeting. We had about 30 at the prayer meeting for a congregation of 60. That is about 50%. That's not bad. I want to challenge you while I report this, that you will consider. You see, the people there travel long distances to come to prayer meeting. Why don't you come this Tuesday night? Too far? Cannot be. Too difficult? Cannot be. Too busy? Well, I say, if you're too busy for prayer meeting, you truly are too busy. And nobody should be too busy. We all should be busy. That is good. Busy for the Lord. But when you become too busy, it means better slow down. So I want to urge you, consider how you can advance the kingdom of God, even as we look into the text for today. We had 4 days of family camp, and some of our members from here are there right now serving. Some of you know Eric and Linda too, and she is now serving there as a pianist. And together, serving the Lord is so wonderful. And also Charles Ling from here is now actively serving the Lord. So it is a good thing to go to a small church. You know everybody, and almost everybody is active for the Lord. So let us pray that we will learn to be active. Now, please turn to the Word of God. John's Gospel, chapter 7. An episode in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering when we read Isaiah 53 a moment ago, our Lord came unto his own and his own received him not, and they despised him. When he went to the temple of which he was the Lord, they did not recognize him. But the temple rulers were all the time waiting to find a fault in him so as to arrest him and to kill him. Now that is the background to this morning's message, a message that our Lord preached in the temple. So now please turn. John 7, and while the text is stated to be from verse 32, we shall read a few verses before then to give us a better idea of the context. You know, what is the context? To know in what kind of a setting the passage we are going to read was in. Right, verse 14. This was the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the great feasts which all the Jewish males were required to attend, whether in the temple or in the synagogues. This was a requirement that all Israel come together and show their unity as a great body of God's people, and to show their grateful to the Lord for all that they have received. So now, verse 14 says, in the midst of this feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. And of course, whenever he goes to the temple authorities are not pleased. Who are they? Pharisees, chief priests, the rulers of the temple, they took note of this man, the outsider. He came unto his own. His own received him not. And so this is the situation. Jesus in his temple, and the people who were in power eyeing him, thinking, how long more shall we tolerate this rebel? To find a way to arrest him and to kill him. Verse 28, in the midst of all this, and mind you, please understand, this is a feast time, and the temple will be choked with people, maybe thousands of people, coming there to pay their dues at this festival time. Verse 28 then says, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me. Ye know whence I am, and I am not from come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. Jesus cried out. In other words, in the midst of a great crowd of people, you got to raise your voice, that people will hear and take note. And here is Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, Son of God, preaching. What happened? Verse 30. Then they sought to take him. Oh, my friends, how sad that his own people sought, on, of course, the instruction of the powers that be, to arrest him. Continue to read, please. But no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. The hour was to be at the Passover. This is not the Passover. Jesus knew the time, and events did not happen haphazardly. Everything, there is a season and a time. The time for the Lord Jesus to be apprehended, taken, arrested, tried, condemned, put to the death, had not come. God has a time. Verse 31. And many of the people believed on him. This was to the great anger of the Pharisees and the authorities. And they said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? This was the common question. Jesus seemed to be somebody, and yet he was not authorized by the authorities. Who is he? Is he really the Messiah? Should we listen to him or to someone else who is coming? Verse 32 is our text now for today. That I have given to you is the background. All right, in the temple, a lot of people there, and Jesus himself preaching, and the Pharisees, verse 32, heard that people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. But again, I want to stress, the time was not yet. Verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall then seek me, and shall not find me. Where I am, there you cannot come. Verse 35, then said the Jews to themselves, where will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles and leave us and go to another country? Is that what he's going to do? That we cannot find him. What is he talking about? This is what they are saying. Verse 36. What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, there you cannot come. Now comes to the text of the message. Please pay full attention, and as you listen and read, keep praying, Lord, Holy Spirit. Are you praying, dear friends? It's so important. You cannot understand the message. The spiritual lesson we're going to learn, please pray God to help you. Verse 37. In the last day, probably the eighth day, that is the week of concluding of that great festival, Jesus stood and cried again. He wants his words to be well heard. He stood up. He did not sit down. And he cried with a loud voice so that no one will say, I did not hear him. Why? This is a very important message. Let all the people within earshot listen to this. And I say, you too. Let us all listen carefully. What did Jesus say? What Jesus said on that day is said to you today. This is the inspired, recorded word of God. Listen. Jesus says to you, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, this is the first part of the message. If any man, this address is to everyone, anyone, man, woman, rich, poor, powerful, not powerful. Everyone is to take note. When Jesus speaks, listen. What does Jesus say? If you thirst, come to me and drink. Was Jesus talking about water? You know, at the end of the festival, there was a kind of a water ceremony. And so there was a lot of attention paid to physical water. Dearly beloved, let us, in our mind, understand that Jesus is not talking of physical water. Then what is he talking about thirst? Jesus says, if any man has a strong need and a desire, whatever it is that is bothering you in the spirit, you know you have sinned, you know your conscience is pricking you, you know you have no future, you know you need to be saved, you know you have sins to be forgiven, then it creates in you a spiritual hungering and thirsting, that desire to have your spiritual need met. This is what Jesus is talking about. And this is addressed to everyone, any man. If this morning you feel pricked in your conscience, you have done some awful thing, or you've just done nothing, you've never considered how you can be saved and escape the judgment and the destruction to come, and your heart is disturbed, and you feel there is a need to do something, to seek God to help you. You need your sin to be cleansed. That need and feeling is your thirst. What is your thirst? Many in the world have other thirsts. There are some who thirst after money. So this morning they will not come to church. They're out somewhere planning how to make more money. There are those whose thirst is pleasure. My whole attention and my desire is to enjoy myself. So he's not here. You give them the gospel, it makes no sense to them. Why? They have a different appetite. Their hungering and thirsting is for the places of entertainment, of self-glorification, of enlarging their holdings in things of the world. Those things to them are most important. I say, dear friends, what brought you to church this morning? Was there a hungering and thirsting after righteousness when you woke up this morning? He said, this is the Lord's day, and my Lord has come to fill that thirst in me. He has come to give me that which I know my soul desires and my soul needs. We are talking of spiritual things, dear friends, and I pray that you will pray. God, give me an understanding of the spiritual values in life. Now back to verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Do not go to any other source of comfort, any other kind of religion, any other kind of profession, all those things cannot satisfy the thirst of your soul to be right with God, to be accepted with God, to receive the approval of God, and to have His cleansing, His renewal, His blessing in your life. So this is our first and fundamental need expressed as a thirst. If any man thirst, if any woman thirst, that is your basic spiritual need. Come to Jesus. There is no one else. Jesus doesn't at any time direct anybody to anyone else. Never, never, never. Only Jesus. Always Jesus. I pray that you will put Him first in your life. In everything. Jesus first. Jesus only. Because only Jesus saves. So this is verse 37. Now we come to verse 38. Now this applies to all of us who are already believers, right? And you have received that soul-satisfying, thirst-quenching gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 38 says, He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Wow, what does this mean? He that believeth on me, who comes to Jesus and accepts him and believes him as Lord and Savior, that moment receives a new life. And this new life in him does not stagnate. I want to impress on all of us here that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit, which causes us to come to Jesus, indwells us. And that same Holy Spirit also begins a new work in us. So someone who is recently saved, full of the joy of forgiveness of sins, full of the joy of knowing God as Savior, wants to tell it to others. Is that true? We have this story told and retold. Think of the 1,500 saved in Saipan. They did not all go back to China and do nothing. But this verse says, He that believeth on me, as those that were saved in Saipan, they go back to China, equipped with the word of God, and they begin to tell their family members, begin to witness in their homes. That's how so many house churches began. And there, what happens? They who believe on Jesus receive the word of God in Saipan, as the scripture has said, out of them shall flow rivers of living water. Back in China, back in your homes, wherever you are, you have become a witness to the saving grace of God. Sins forgiven, a future assured, a home in heaven. You, full of the joy of salvation, you want to tell someone, and you begin to be as a river of living water. Every believer is such a person. When I was in Sydney, I was given a book about a man in Sydney, and this story must touch your heart. When he was saved as a sailor and a gambler and a sinner in 1937, his salvation was so wonderful that he was totally changed. An aimless and purposeless life was suddenly brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realized, now I owe a gospel debt. For 37 years, I've never witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is called Frank Jenner. Frank Jenner. God's Spirit touched him. God's Spirit began to work in him. And he resolved. He says, Lord, from today, 1937, I will be as a river of living waters. Out of me will go the gospel as you will enable me. He did not go to Bible college or seminary. He had no theological training whatsoever, but he had one thing. Desire to magnify the Lord and to show forth the way of salvation by what he could do. What could he do? Frank Jenner covenanted with God and said, Lord, help me. From this day, I will be your witness every day. Now, listen carefully. I say, this is something we all can do. Be a witness. Frank Jenner says, Lord, every day, help me to go to the streets of Sydney and be a witness to someone I meet. And my target is 10 people per day, every day, rain or shine, good day, bad day, any day, 10 people on the streets of Sydney. The street he chose was called George Street, one of the main city streets. And there he would meet with anyone who came along. He had a pocket full of tracts. And he would stop the person and say, pardon me, sir, would you mind if I ask you a question? If you should die within 24 hours, where will you go, heaven or earth or hell? And this shocked everyone he came across. Of course, some of them were plain unhappy and rude and just brushed him off. But many people were plainly touched and allowed him to say a few words for the Lord Jesus and to give our tract. This went on day in, day out for 28 years. Now, for faithfulness, remember this name, Frank Jenner. He went on doing this without knowing whether any of them ever came to the Lord at all. He did not know. But he went on, as Ecclesiastes says, cast your bread on the waters. After many days, you'll find it. 1953, a pastor Dixon was being invited by the Australians to go from England. And during the farewell service, he was speaking and asked for testimonies of salvation in England. Two people stood up. Both had been to Sydney. And the first one says, when I was a naval sailor with the British Navy, mind you, Frank Jenner lived through the Second World War, 1939-1945. And during those days, many British naval vessels docked in Sydney. And the sailors and soldiers would come on shore. And as they streamed and crowded the streets of Sydney, this Frank Jenner came to them. Now in 1953, so many years later, when Pastor Dixon was preparing to go to Australia, at a meeting, one man stood up and said, I want to give testimony. When I was in the Navy in Sydney on shore leave, as I walked through George Street, there was a strange man who came up to me and stopped me and said, if you should die within 24 hours, where will you be, heaven or hell? And that shocked me. And he gave me a tract. I went on, came back to England, and I sought salvation, and I was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ by this very same pastor who was going to Australia. Praise the Lord, he was baptized. And now he's a servant of the Lord serving in the church. When he had finished giving his testimony, another man stood up and said, I want to say exactly the same. I was also in the Navy. I was also in Sydney, also in George Street. And this strange fellow also came to me. And he says, if you should die in 24 hours, where will you go? And I was touched and I was saved. I want to say the Lord has blessed me with this salvation. Now let's read this. Verse 36, 38. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Mind you, these two were both actively, not just saved, but serving the Lord. And they will become also rivers of living water. Now this Pastor Dixon was so impressed. He says, well, if there are two in one meeting, let me go now to Australia. Right? You get the hang of the story? He was invited to go to Australia. So he came to Australia and he says, let me, wherever I can, mention this story and see if there are others who were saved by this strange fellow who says, if you should die in 24 hours, what will happen to you? At his first meeting in Adelaide, he preached his usual message. Then he related this story. He says, there is a man in George Street in Sydney who goes around asking people, if you should die in 24 hours, what will happen to you? At the end of the service, one fellow came up and said, I was saved by that man. Adelaide, Perth, Sydney, then back to England again. And in his travels to America, in Jamaica, in his further travels to India, in every place, through over 20 years in all his travels, he collected 10 more people who had heard this strange man in Sydney say, if you should die in 24 hours. And all of these got saved. And my friends, this is a story that touches hearts and provokes us to think, how many of us have been a river of living water to someone? I don't advise that you will go and do the same thing, please. Not everyone can go to somebody and say, if you should die in 24 hours. God has a purpose and God has a use for everyone. For this man, he was convinced that God wants him to say just that. And God enabled him to say that. People ask him, hey, how come you could do such a thing? Do you think it's so easy or not? He says, my friend, I can tell you it is not easy. But when I began, I had a card in my pocket like this. And I wrote Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So when I began, I was so nervous. Before that, I will read first. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, Lord, please help me to go and speak to someone. Then he went forth after reading his Bible verse to encourage himself. Dear friends, I want to close with this verse again. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, not your stomach, please. The belly here means within you, from within. And what is within that can cause you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it within you? Answer, the heart. Of course, the belly here means within you, your heart will be overflowing with gratitude to the Savior and with a firm conviction that you can be a witness. He that comes to me and believes in me shall become as a river of living waters to someone else. It is now for you to go. Dear friends, how shall you do it? We have many tracks. We have also track packs. Pray that God will touch your heart and you too will become a river of living water, meaning to say the gospel, the water of life to those who are dying without Jesus Christ, to those who are seeking the way of salvation. They are the people for you and me to reach. Remember the Lord Jesus on earth today has no feet and hands but yours and mine, hands and feet to go for him. He has no lips and mouth to go and tell others but yours and mine. Let us therefore go and become rivers of living water for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us the story of Frank Jenner, that he, in one man, touched the hearts of 10,000 and more, simply by giving a tract and speaking to one person whenever he meets them, 10 persons a day. Oh Lord, help us that we will speak to one person at least a week for a start, and thou wilt enable us to speak to one person every day to become as rivers of living water for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.